Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Southern New Mexico Diabetes Outreach Executive Director June Donahue, SNMDO Board President Susan Oliver, and RN Program Development Coordinator Jody Avalos, with information about diabetes awareness, prevention, and management. Thank you for joining me on Puentes, ladies.
Thank you.
Welcome. Let's start with June. Southern New Mexico Diabetes Outreach, what does it do?
We are a nonprofit organization. We have diabetes support groups. We have adult and children support groups. We are starting again with our diabetes classes this fall. And we have diabetes screenings that we go around to any place, any organization, school, church, anyone requesting, and do free diabetes screening for them. The reason for doing this is a third of the people with diabetes don't know that they do have it. And we do believe that diabetes screening is a gateway to prevention and awareness.
June has been working for SNMDO since 2002. Executive Director, how did you start with SNMDO?
I had worked at Memorial Medical Center for over 10 years, and after I retired, I had one of the diabetes educators that I had worked with give me a call and let me know that they were starting a nonprofit diabetes organization and wanted to know if I was interested. And right about that same time, my daughter's mother-in-law had passed away with diabetes. So I was very interested in doing something to help.
Let's go to Jody now. Jody's going to tell us, what is diabetes?
I think that the best way to explain it is how diabetes occurs in the body. So when you have diabetes, you can't use sugar in your bloodstream normally. Your cells need sugar. And because you don't have enough insulin, which we all hear a lot about related to diabetes, you don't have enough insulin, that sugar can't go into the cells. So it sits in your bloodstream, thickens your blood, makes you feel very tired, but your cells are starving. So the goal of us creating awareness with diabetes is to make sure that people get diagnosed, they know they have it, and then they can control it because it completely changes their way of living.
And who's at risk? What age group is more likely to develop diabetes?
That's a great question because there are three types. So there is a type of diabetes that occurs in childhood. There is a type of diabetes gestational that occurs during pregnancy, so during the pregnancy years. And then there's one we associate more with adults. And we would say once you hit 40 to 45, you're more at risk, but there are so many other things that put you at risk. And we're finding that people are diagnosed earlier and earlier.
And let's go to the board president, Susan Oliver, and tell us how you got involved with Southern New Mexico Diabetes Outreach. And then we'll continue with the talk about how diabetes awareness is so important, especially in the summertime.
Yes. I originally got involved with SNMDO through a friend, and he was on the board and invited me to join, not knowing that later on in the years that there would be an issue within my family as well. So it's really hit home, and I'm just really grateful to give back to the community for those that might not have it or do have it to be able to do the education.
And the education, especially for adults or for youth?
For both. We've just this year launched the youth diabetes support group meetings. We offer those twice a month, the first and third Tuesday. And so far it's been good. We just offered it near the end of the school year, so it will really hit hot and heavy come August with the children. It's for grade school and middle school children and their parents so they can understand how to control their diabetes, how to eat better, how to count carbs.
And do you think children are aware of diabetes?
Well, I do think that kids now have a friend or know someone who has diabetes. Because of efforts of this group and groups like us, there's more awareness. So I would say so. What do you ladies think?
Well, we have a lot of children come through when we're screening, and we actually do not screen anyone as far as sticking their finger under the age of 18. But the majority of them will come through and say, oh, my grandparents or my aunt, uncle, or my parents They're very aware. In this community, we have such a high rate of diabetes. Most of them have a family member or a friend that has it. So they are definitely aware of it.
What is the most frightening thing about diabetes?
That could be lots. Loss of limbs, loss of eyesight.
Kidney failure.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate death.
2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke.
So loss of limbs you talked about, that's something visual, especially for children to see.
Correct. A lot of times there could be neuropathy in your feet. As a diabetic, you would lose the feeling in your feet and not know that you stepped on a sticker, for example, and then it festered up because you weren't checking your feet, and then next thing you know, gangrene sets in, and it goes from there.
I'd like to share one story sort of on the same line Susan was saying about losing feeling in your feet. We were doing a screening with some nursing students and checking the bottom of people's feet and showing them how to do that with a mirror every day. Very important if you have diabetes. And a man told us that he had lost his keys. And we found his keys in his shoe. And he had no idea that his keys were sitting in his shoe next to his foot. He had that much sensation loss in his feet. And it had gone so slowly, you know, over a period of years, that he didn't really feel the difference day to day. And we found his keys, and unfortunately, we also found a little wound, so we were able to send him back to his doctor. So these things can happen, and it can mean a complete change in the way you live, losing a limb, like Susan mentioned. And we try very hard to avoid that by giving people good education.
Are children at risk with that as much as adults?
They can be. It depends very much on how well the blood sugar is controlled. So diet, you talked about counting carbs, medications, and most often in children, it's insulin injections that they need to control their blood sugar.
So in these youth support groups and meetings, do they learn how to give themselves injections or how to treat themselves?
They do cover just basically a little bit of that. Most of it comes through the physician's office on the initial. But if there's anything that's unclear about it, then they do receive additional help. But they definitely learn how to count carbs. They do nutritional games to where they put together healthy plates, and the ones that get it right get to move up on their game boards and things like this. So they make it a fun thing. But when they get through, they know how to count their carbs and they know how to eat properly.
So are more and more people getting involved and attending these youth group meetings?
Well, as Susan mentioned, right now we're out of school, so we have a lot on vacation of the ones that were originally attending. So the attendance has been down some, and so we're continuing to advertise to pick it up during the fall. And the school system is very willing to give the information to their school nurses and for them to let the students that might be interested in it know that it is available.
And the next meeting is going to be Tuesday, June 17th. And Susan, would you tell us where it's going to be held and then the future meetings where they will be?
Right. This will be the last meeting that is at Mountain View Regional Medical Center in the hospital itself. It'll be on the third floor in the NMSU room, 6 o'clock at night until about 7:30. But starting in July, we will be moving to the new location at the Mountain View Regional Medical Center Senior Circle Building. It's newly opened. It is directly behind Walgreens, 3948 East Loman Avenue. And we're just grateful that Mountain View has opened up to let us have these meetings there.
And this is free of charge, correct?
It is free of charge. We provide snacks and the games and the presenters. In November, on the 15th, we'll be having our Diabetes Wellness Day. This will be our 10th year to do this. That will be at the Alma de Arte Court Youth Center. And great day, we bring in physician presenters. We'll have a pharmacist and a dentist this year and a cardiologist. So be sure to plan to attend. We usually have that for adults. It's more geared to the adults than to the children. And be on the lookout for that. They can always reach us at 575-522-0289 if they have any other questions.
And do you have a website as well?
We do. It's www.snmdo.org.
Jody, tell us more about the risks, especially in the summertime, of diabetes.
So people who have diabetes have to be extra vigilant in the summer. And that's because we have some very hot days here. So there's some good things about that. When kids are out of school, particularly, they tend to be more active. So they're outside exercising, and that's great. We want that. We want people with diabetes to be moving. However, when you move, you use more sugar. So you have a risk of having low blood sugar. So it's very important in the summer for us to know the signs of low blood sugar, you know, diabetics, people who are with them, to know and be able to treat that very quickly.
What are the signs?
Shakiness. You can have changes in your speech, very dizzy, very sweaty. What else can you
headaches.
All think of? Headache.
Yeah, confusion, which
confusion.
Would be speech probably,
yes,
but headache.
And most people, just like when you're feeling very, very hungry all of a sudden, so you'd want to get a good nutrition source right away.
Are some of the symptoms confused with maybe different diseases? Are they similar to other diseases?
Well, this happens more suddenly as far as the low blood sugar. But if you look at diabetes as a whole, the symptoms can be subtle, more tired than usual, weight gain or some weight loss. So certainly there could be some confusion there. And that's why the efforts of this group are so important, because we can get out there and screen people and we know if this is a problem.
Is fuzzy vision, your eyesight, is that affected?
It can be. And the symptoms are a little individual. So not everybody is going to have every symptom, but it will be, for low blood sugar, it will be very sudden. And it will be something that you would notice for sure. So other things to think about is high blood sugar in the summer from dehydration. So when you lose a lot of water, then your blood sugar can go really high. So it's very important that diabetics have access to water anytime that they're outdoors. Hydrate before you go outside. Don't be out in the middle of the day. Other things that drive up blood sugar are sunburns, and we don't think about that. So good sunscreen. Remember, your scalp can burn, so a hat, a scarf on your neck, very, very important, because a sunburn will trigger the release of sugar, and then you're dealing with a whole different problem. So you have a diabetic that has very, very high sugar. And the symptoms of high blood sugar are a lot harder to see. Low blood sugar, you're going to know right away. High blood sugar can be a little subtle. So a lot of water, stay out of the sun when you can. The last suggestion would be not to go around barefoot. If you're a diabetic, you need to have shoes on your feet. You don't want your feet to be cut. Susan alluded to this, you know, burnt. You want to make sure that your skin on your feet stays intact.
Is that because maybe your feet might be numb?
They can be. You can lose a lot of sensation. Even children with diabetes can start to lose sensation on the bottom of their feet. And you won't feel a burn. You won't feel a sticker, like you said. And the symptoms, once you do realize them, can be very, very late. So always wear shoes, even in your house.
Is there a certain ethnic group that has a higher incidence?
There are a few, actually.
Yeah, Native Americans have the highest. And right now, the African American have surpassed a little bit of the Hispanics, just by a little bit. But those are the, as far as the ethnicity making a difference. And then, as Jody mentioned earlier, the age group. A third of the people over 65 have diabetes, and another third are pre-diabetic.
Is there a reason for the groups that have a higher tendency towards diabetes?
There is. There are several different theories, and I don't know whether Jody wants to answer this one or not, or I can go ahead. But if you would like to, go ahead.
You know, certain ethnic groups have different body patterns where they, all of us have body fat. And in some ethnic groups, it tends to be more towards the center of the body, and that puts you more at risk. So certain ethnic groups, because they gain weight in the center of their body and not on their limbs, can be more at risk. And you take it from there.
Well, they believe that because of the body build, that a lot of the ethnic groups have been in areas to where food was not very plentiful, that a lot of them with a higher metabolism rate didn't survive. And so the ones with a slower metabolism rate did. And a lot of it in our area, as far as the Native Americans and the Hispanics, a lot of them are intermarried along with all of us. So that increases their rate of diabetes more also.
Do you think people are becoming more aware of healthy food choices?
I think so. I think they're more available now in the mainstream grocery stores. That's fortunate.
I agree. Yeah. And we have the new natural grocers up on Loman, and we still have
Mountain View and Toucan.
So they are all making strides to help everyone realize and understand how to eat better.
And do you think growing your own foods is an alternative?
I do. It's a lot of work
and
here.
I do, too.
Do you have any classes about that?
Well, that's one of our goals for this year, is to get a cooking classes going. So we are in the very beginning stages of getting those ready. And we'll have more to report on that a little later.
What age group attend these youth support groups?
It's elementary and middle school. However, some of them have siblings that do not have daycare, and we end up with those too, but that's okay. They're still learning healthy eating and about diabetes, and also why their sibling is having to go to this effort to take care of themselves. So that's not the goal of us on that age group, but I still think that they benefit from it, and right now it's working for us.
Do you have classes in both Spanish and English, or just in English?
One of our instructors is bilingual. She reads, writes, and speaks Spanish. She has an RN degree, and she also is a type 1, and she's had diabetes since she was 5 years old. So she's well aware of what these children are going through at this age.
Jody, tell us about, what is a type 1 and what is a type 2?
Great question. So type 1 diabetes occurs usually in youth, so in the younger years. There are a few exceptions to that. And these diabetics are insulin dependent, so they need insulin injections to survive. So this is the way they're treated. And medically, and then also they have to learn to carb count and be very strict with their diet. Type 2 diabetics, generally, we have associated that with people later in life, like I said, that 40-plus crowd, but we now see it in kids as young as 10 and 12 years old. Not all of those patients will need insulin injections. There are some diabetes pills. People call them oral hypoglycemics or oral antidiabetic drugs. And type 2 diabetics, a lot of them can use those instead of insulin injections. Not always, but a lot of them can. So still, again, good diet, activity, weight control, all those things are still important. But those are the big differences there.
So we have to be very aware and how alarming it is. If a doctor says, well, you're borderline diabetic, it is very important.
Yes, it is. We have people tell us, well, I'm pre-diabetic, which is the term that they use, and they aren't doing any lifestyle changes. And I say, well, you know, if you don't, you're going to end up diabetic. If you don't make the changes, you're going to continue toward that road. And even if you're diagnosed as pre-diabetic, 1 out of 7, it's still preventable if they will make lifestyle changes with nutrition and exercises. They don't even have to have diabetes at that point. And a lot of people in our area feel like that because their family members have it, that they're destined to have it. And they don't even realize that it is preventable if they will make these lifestyle changes.
You mentioned that you've had presenters at different types of events that you've had, like eye doctors, and they talk about the major thing about eyesight.
Well, diabetes, because it thickens the blood with sugar, it affects the tiniest vessels in your body. So that would be your eyes, your kidneys, your fingers and toes. So the vessels in your eyes are so small that a little bit of sugar can completely prevent the blood from doing its job, getting oxygen where it's needed. And then slowly the cells in the eye begin to die, the ones that feed the nerves that let you see. And that's an unfortunate effect. And we notice that very, very quickly when our vision changes, first at night, then we can't focus as well. So vision loss can be a significant sign in diabetes.
And very serious then.
Sure, and it affects driving, your general safety.
If you don't take care of yourself, it can cause complete blindness.
So these free screenings, where do they go?
We actually go a lot of different places. We have some coming up in Chaparral. We have one in Oregon. We have one in Doña Ana that will be coming up. And then we will be at the Convention Center with the Mountain View Regional Medical Center's Health Day. So wherever we're invited, we go. And are always, you know, in different areas. On the June the 21st, we'll be at Apodaca Park from 2 to 6. And so we go in through there and we screen anyone 18 and over.
So we're looking forward to reach out to the community, as you ladies are bridges like Puentes on this program, and teaching people, making people aware about diabetes prevention and management. Well, thank you again, ladies, for Southern New Mexico Diabetes Outreach. Board President Susan Oliver, Executive Director June Donahue, and RN Program Development Coordinator Jody Avalos. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for asking us.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.